chapter 3 in the book of Genesis, verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? I'm going to stop right there. And I want to preach, if God will help me, on a thought. Did you see the snake? Our Father, we bow in your divine presence, O Lord, this morning, as humble as we know how. We thank you, dear Lord, for all your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your love and for your mercy. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have to be in your house one more time. Lord, we pray for these that are bound with us. We ask you, dear God, that you'd touch each one of them. Lord, I pray that if there be one here today that's lost, maybe they've never had an acquaintance with the Lord this morning. Father, I pray, nor did they ever have an experience of grace. Lord, I pray that today, Lord, that it changed their life. Lord, that you'd make a difference in them. We ask you, dear God, again, that you'd anoint us afresh with fresh oil. Give us power to preach one more time. We ask you now to go with us and give us the words that we need to say and what you do for us. We'll be careful to thank you, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. We humbly pray, amen and amen. Did you see the snake? I want to talk to us on that thought for a few minutes. This Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is a book about God. It really is. This is a book about God. It tells enough in it to know that there is a God and that he created everything and that God had a son, an only son, and that son came into the world and died on Calvary's cross for our sins and was buried, and God raised his son from the dead. And we know this morning that this Bible also teaches that if any man will put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they can be saved and they can live as Jesus Christ lived in that resurrected life. We can also live under the power of his resurrection, so we can live through him. But I want to talk to us this morning about the Bible, and there's that other character in the Bible, and Genesis chapter 3 calls him a serpent. The Hebrew word translated that word into serpent literally means snake. And so the Bible tells us that there was a snake in the beginning. But we find that snake weaving himself all the way through the text in the Bible also, as we see the book telling us about God. And so we see him from time to time. You remember in the book of Job, the Bible said that this same snake had went to heaven and is talking to God, and God brings this conversation and says, where have you been? And he said he had been in the world, to and fro. He had been in the world. And so we know that he is slithering himself through the pages of the Bible. And so we know not only that he slithers his way through the lives of people today. His mission today is to come and to steal and to destroy and to kill. If he can steal your life this morning, that's exactly what he wants to do. If he can steal your Christian walk with the Lord Jesus, that's what he wants to do. He's known by several names in the Bible. Here he's known as the serpent. Sometimes we see him as the devil. And sometimes we see his name as Lucifer, the morning star. How we find him sometimes in the Bible then as he works his way through the devil. He's known as the devil. And we see him coming from time to time. I believe one place calls him the prince of the power of the air. That's what they call him in the text. And we see him from time to time. The Bible tells us that he's the author of confusion. And so that's what he wants to do. He comes to us in those various names, depending on how he wants to come at us. And he came to Eve as a snake. Now remember, Adam and Eve's the only two people on the earth. And so therefore we know that according to the scripture, this serpent walked upright. He stood up on two legs and he walked upright. And the Bible said he's subtile than any beast of the field. I see him making his way through the garden. And he has his eye on Adam. And he had his eyes on Eve. And he's constantly watching them. Only two people to watch. And so he watches them too every day. And he knows that these were special created beings. And we know that the devil is also a created being. Amen. He's not God, and he is not infinite. The devil was a created being. We find him as Lucifer, and we know he's a created angel. Angels today, my friend, are created by God. And so we know that he's interested in creation. And so he goes from place to place and watches the different creations of God. And we know that in creation, God said that everything that he made was good. Amen. And man, when he made man, he said he was very good. And so the serpent watches Adam. And he sees that oftentimes that Adam's alone. And then God makes Adam a helpmeet and in the garden. And he marries them, the Bible tells us, in the 25th verse in the second chapter, that God begins to marry Adam and Eve. And now they twain become one flesh. And the Bible said they were naked and innocent in the garden and in their relationship with God. But the devil, the snake, watches them. He's constantly moving around and he waits to strike. And then the Bible tells us that he finds Eve by herself. And I'm going to tell you this snake. Have you seen him? I'm going to tell you, he comes when we feel most vulnerable. When I think about a snake, and I think about when I look at a snake, I believe we were going to the ordination service the other day. May have been what spawned this thought in my mind, but we were talking about the four most deadliest snakes in the state of Alabama. And not oftentimes do you see them, but they're there. Yeah. Amen. And you can see them, snakes, as they just blend into the background. Sometimes you'll walk right by them and won't even know you walk by them. You just about have to step on them to know they were there. But I tell you, they are there. Amen. And so we know this morning that the snakes are there. And this snake, and as he began to make his way and weave his way in the life of Eve, he waited for that vulnerable moment. And did you see the snake? And the Bible said, and as we looked at the serpent, and it's amazing that he comes in verse number 1 in chapter number 3 at the beginning of the falling of man and the destruction of the earth as it begins to deteriorate. And did they see him? I wonder in my mind, as they were walking in the garden and taking care of the garden, did the snake reveal himself to them, or did they just walk right past him in the trees, and as he was staying obscured in their sight until the right moment? I'm telling you, that's just how the snake is going to strike at the most unexpected time and the most vulnerable time. The snake seems to show up. Has he always been there? Yes, he's always been there, but he's waiting for that time, that vulnerable moment where he can strike. Did you see the snake? And so we find his description here. But then you'll note in the text the deception of this snake. I tell you this morning, he is a conniving one. The Bible calls him subtile. He was a crafty one. Amen. And he's noted in the Bible as the deceitful one. Amen. And he comes to deceive man. That is his purpose today, is to deceive man. Where does he come at us at the most deceptive place? I'm going to say it's in the appetite of man. Amen. It's in what we are appetite. What has do we have an appetite for in life? What is it that turns us more than anything in this world? Well, Eve was in the garden, and the best I can tell, she was probably picking the food for Adam and for herself to eat. And so their appetite must have been where the snake saw their most vulnerability.
satisfied. They're constantly, what'll drive a man away from God is hunger. What'll drive a man to God is hunger. It's all in the appetite of man. And so what the devil done was he appealed to the appetite of Eve, amen, and found her by herself and away from Adam. I'm going to tell you this morning, he'll wait for the weakest moment. When you feel all alone and you're by yourself. I remember reading a little letter that Elvis Presley wrote in Memphis, Tennessee, or in Tupelo, Mississippi. He wrote this at a McDonald's store there in Tupelo. He said, though I'm surrounded with crowds, and he said, many folks applauding my performance, he said, but I always feel alone when I'm gathered around the most people. Imagine that. Imagine feeling alone when you're surrounded by thousands of people and you yourself feel alone. Well, you know the story about Elvis Presley. He died at a young age. The snake was there all the time. Amen. And he found him at his most vulnerable and his alone state by himself. And he struck and there he died. He's noted as the king of pop music back in his day. And I'm going to tell you this morning, my friend, the devil will find your time, amen, and he'll strike. Did you see the snake? He deceived them, and he took them by their appetite. You know, Jesus said, if any man will hunger and thirst over righteousness, he said, he shall be filled. It's in that time when we're when our appetites move us. And you know the Bible tells us of Eve's appetite. The Bible said, first of all, in verse number 6, he appeals now to her physical appetite. The Bible said, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. And have you ever noticed today why it seems like we're just going and we're pulled in every direction, except we're not pulled towards God? It's because the devil appeals to the appetite of the flesh. And to the, you remember what the devil did to Jesus? The Bible tells us when he was tempted in the wilderness, he talked about bread. You remember that? He wanted to appear and appeal to his appetite of the flesh. He was hungry. He was hungry. And that's what the devil tempted him with, was how he could get to that physical attraction, that physical appetite. And so he says that the woman now, she is appealed to the tree, and she saw it was good for food. You remember what the Lord said about that tree? He said, leave it alone. He said, the day that you eat of that tree, thou shalt surely die. Now, reckon why she says she looked at it and saw that it was good for food. It was the snake. Yes. It was the snake. Yes. The snake had deceived her and had her believing that it's okay to eat of that tree and to break the commandment of God. And so now you find in the text she begins to take of that appetite for food for herself. And forget what God says. Let's just do it if it feels good. That's what the world's mind is about today. Amen. And he appeals to the appetite of a man's physical condition and a man's fleshly life. And we grab after the food. And he's never changed. The snake has never changed. Do you see the snake today? Does he come around your life? And does he pull at your appetite and says, it's good, it's good. Go ahead and take it. Next thing you know, but then he not only does he appear to this physical part, but look what he says. And then he says that it was pleasant to the eyes. Yeah. Pleasant. That's what we all want, isn't it? Yeah. A life of being pleasant.
Yeah.
Amen. So the snake appears and appeals to this emotional part of this woman. And I tell you, I'll be honest with you now. God made man and woman different. He really did. He made us different. We're emotional beings at the beginning of this thing. God made us in his likeness and image, and so we're emotional. But he made the woman a little more emotional.
Yeah.
Amen. than the emotional appetite of the man. Amen. I'm telling you, a man ain't always built up and always strong. He's an emotional being. And so what he says is it's pleasant to the eyes. And so he appeals to this pleasantness. Everybody wants to be pleasant. Everybody likes to see things that are pleasant. And so he appears and appeals to that appetite, going after the pleasures of this world. You remember what the Bible tells us about the pleasures of this world? Man has always had an appetite for the pleasures of this world. And it wasn't good enough that it was good for food, but that it was pleasurable to the eye. Miss D brought home 6 apples the other day. We always buy the ambrosia apples that we always like. We always hunt up the ambrosia apples. They ain't pretty, but boy, are they good. They're sweet and they're crisp. And they're somewhat yellow, green, and red. They're a mixed color. Sometimes they're out of shape. So she goes to the grocery store and she brings home 6 apples. And are they shiny? And boy, I'm telling you, they stand up there. They're perfect in their shape. They got the 4 little lumps on the top, and they come down, and they're just beautiful. They look like plastic apples. Yeah. I got one the other day and bit into it, and it was like mush.
Yeah.
And the outside peeling was bitter.
Yeah.
I don't know if they covered it with wax and polished it, but it was bitter. But I'm telling you, when I saw that, all I could think about was that pretty apple. I'm going to get me one.
Yeah.
I reached and got that thing. Boy, and I can't stand a mushy apple. I assume to throw them all in the garbage. They've been in my fruit bowl now, I know, for at least 2 weeks, and they have not changed their appearance. There's no rotten spots. There's nothing. But the inside of them's getting mushier. And I'm afraid to grab one. That's the way the devil appears. And he pushes towards the appetite of the pleasure. Just grab that apple. Now, I don't think the fruit was an apple that Eve took. I don't know that that was what it was. But I will say this, that those pretty red apples is just like the devil. Now, I'm not saying she brought the devil in. But what I am saying is, to the eyes, that would look so pleasurable. Sit down and have one of them apples. But I'm telling you this morning, how the devil come to deceive Eve and began to appear to her appetite and her emotional state. I'm going to tell you, the devil will find that emotion. Do you know why we're having so much trouble in our nation today? It's because the devil has appeared to the appetite of emotions. You cannot run anything on emotions. Sometimes I don't even feel saved.
Yes,
God bless. Oh, don't you look at me like
that.
Hey, sometimes I feel like I ought to just be kicked off into hell. But I know I'm saved because the Bible tells me that I am. And the Spirit of God reminds me that I'm a child of the King. Even if I don't feel saved, I know I'm saved. And the devil appears to that emotional part. But then look what he says. And then he comes down and says, she took of the fruit thereof. Or she says that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise.
Yeah.
Well, here we go again.
Yeah.
He appeared to that appetite of our intellect, our minds. Boy, I like to be smarter than you. if I could get an upper hand on, you remember seeing the sign that it said there's power in knowledge?
Yeah.
You remember that? Well, I'm going to tell you, we have educated ourselves right out of intellect.
You're right.
And we're appearing and appealing. The devil knew right where to hit us.
Yeah.
I mean, he knew right where to get her. And the Bible tells us now how that he has come to deceive her and said, it's one to make you wise. If you take of that tree, you can be as God, knowing good from evil.
Right.
You can do that. Come on, man.
Yes.
Did you see the snake?
Yes.
got our minds messed up. We want it to be wise. We want it to be wise. Have you seen where we've gotten to today? Scientists say that instead of progressing in knowledge, we're regressing. We're getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I can't remember nothing. Wait a minute now. You ever feel that way? I can't remember anything. Somebody said, I got now to where sometimes, most of the time now when I shake somebody's hand and they call my name, I cannot recall their name for nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking now, I know them, but I don't know their name. I can read now, and the older I get, the less I retain. It's getting that way. And I knew I was bad when I was young, but now it gets worse and worse and worse. Now I try to read and exercise my brain, and I try to think and try to get some intelligence in here and try to get some mind in here. And I'm going to tell you what's happened. The devil has said, if you take of that tree, you can be wise. And he appeared to the appetite of the intellectual of man. I'm telling you, the devil will confuse you. And if he'll get your mind, he'll get the rest of you.
That's right, man.
Did you see the snake coming?
Yeah.
I was hunting here a couple of years ago, and there was a copperhead right in my pathway. Copperhead snake. It was cool weather. If you know snakes, they don't get around much in cooler weather. But it was sunny. And it was about that long, brown, had a real dark brown with a little black on him. And he was just laying there in a little S shape. I go up there and I sit down right beside him. Sit down. Have no idea that thing is nowhere around. There's a tree right here, and he's just right there. And I sit down, and I'm sitting there watching this hawk. And I'm looking around a little bit, and I'm just taking my time and looking around, having to turn my head and look. And he's right there. There ain't no way I would have sat right there if I'd known he was there.
That's right.
If I would have known him, I'd have said, whoa, or shot him one. And I sat right there, and there he was. But when I saw him here with that forky tongue going out on, and I thought, well, me and him can't stay in the same place. And I just eased my way over and got up and eased on out. I'm telling you, the snake is right there.
Yes.
And we don't even see it.
Right.
We don't see it. But there was the defeat of this snake.
Yes, there was.
I'm glad, thank God, that the Lord got it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
The Bible said there's a fire reserved for him.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us he's going to be cast in the book of Revelation out into that lake of fire to burn forever and forever.
Amen.
Did you see that snake? He's right there.
Yes.
And he's doing everything he can to confuse you, bring doubt in your mind, deceive you, and try to destroy you and to kill you. And if he can get you, he will get you. This morning, do you see him? Preacher, I've really not ever paid attention to that snake. He's deadly.
Yes, he is.
He's deadly.
God bless
him. When he strikes, he brings death. This morning, do you see him? The Lord's defeated that snake. And this morning, he's the only hope we have and the remedy we have for the snake bite is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and defeated him at Calvary's cross for our forgiveness of sins, and will ultimately forever do away with him, and will never see him again. Those that are in Christ Jesus our Lord. This morning, are you saved? If I was to come up here and I had a sack full of rattlesnakes up here at the top of the burlap bag, I one time remembered a story about a drunk man that had gotten snake bit. And he staggered his way over into the doctor's office. And the nurse said, we can't help you. Said, we've got to know what kind of snake it is. He said, I'll be back in a minute. And he goes out of his car, he brings the bag, throws the snake in the floor and said, there he is. There's a snake. And of course, they scattered. When that snake enters a room, they scatter. This morning, the snake has entered the room.
Yeah.
Do you see it? He is trying to destroy and to kill and seize and to bring doubt and confusion about God, about the Lord. This morning you can come and you can find refuge in the Lord.
Right.
He is the not only the great physician, but he's the snake killer.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand this morning.
Yeah.